Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of What Are You Talking About? My guest today is Christy Hollard. She is a 2x team games athlete who's hoping to head back this year with CrossFit Taurian Mayhem. As an ex-field hockey player, we talk about similarities of the sports, if there are any, plus why she keeps going back to team and her best open finish yet. As always, don't forget to like, rate and subscribe to be the first to hear all about our new episodes and content. Enjoy! Christy, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well, thank you. We were literally just saying before we hit record, can't believe it's that time already, but team quarterfinals are done and dusted. Can't believe we are like already that way through the season. How are you feeling? Obviously a great result for you guys at Taurian Mayhem, but yeah, how was the weekend?
Yeah, it was really good. It was like different this year having that prolonged period to get all the workouts done. I felt like it kind of dragged on a little bit, especially because you had to wait until Tuesday morning when the leaderboard was finalized as well. But yeah, it was fun. We did one of the workouts on the Thursday morning when they were released. Then we did two on the Friday and one on Saturday. And then we ended up repeating one of the workouts on Monday morning. So a pretty like good run for us. So we were like happy with our final result. And yeah, we're just looking forward to carrying that momentum into the pro in, I think it's like 6 weeks time, which will like be here before we know it.
I know, it's going to absolutely fly by. I'm intrigued to hear that you repeated a workout because I think obviously as an individual athlete, you go through these workouts and you make these decisions. How do you go when you're in a team? How do you go about discussing whether or not you want to repeat a workout?
Yeah, I think there's like a couple of factors. I mean, mainly for this weekend, like with the quarterfinals, we were hoping that we wouldn't actually need to repeat anything. Even if there was a workout that we probably thought we could do a little bit better on, we would like weigh up whether it was worth to repeat it or not, depending on what the final result would be. But the main reason that we had to repeat the workout was we just weren't happy with one of our camera angles showing us meeting the standards on our handstand push-ups pretty much. And I'm sure like all athletes go through that. You know, I've been competing, I think this is my 8th year now. Mm. And when you do like the quarterfinals or, you know, the open where you had to record everything, you really like analyze your video and you just don't want to leave any room for error and possibly getting like a penalty. So when we had a look at our video, we were like, let's just redo it, tidy up some of our reps, make sure we position our video like for a better camera angle. And yeah, ultimately we were also hoping to go faster, but it actually worked out. We went about 8 seconds slower. So it's not the most ideal situation when you're repeating and you end up going slower, but it didn't matter. At the end of the day, like, yeah, I'm glad we repeated. All of our videos were, you know, we got them all reviewed and we got no penalties. So that was the main thing.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Because you have to think about those little things that actually us people that do kind of standard open or, you know, I'm not doing quarterfinals, but anyone that is, like a lot of people won't think about that. But then you see, like you go on social media and you see, oh, our video wasn't approved or this happened or this happened. So it's really interesting that even you guys who, you know, as you say, you've been doing this for a long time, you've still got to go back and assess. Going, like, obviously you've competed individually as well, and with the Open, you do it individually. Do you pay as much kind of attention and do you put as much, I suppose, analysis on the Open as well? I think obviously this year it's changed quite a little bit because of the, you know, the amount of people going through to quarterfinals. But are you still in that mindset when you're doing the Open as well?
In terms of like my video submission or how I kind of approach the workout?
A bit of both. Yeah. So are you as analytic on like your video, your workout, etc.?
I guess like, yeah, like, I mean, in terms of how I approach the open workout now, it probably is a little bit more relaxed than what it previously was. Remember like the 5-week open where that was your way of qualifying for regionals? That was a pretty stressful time. And I actually way prefer the qualification process now to what it was back in like 2017, 2018. But when I'm doing the actual open workout, like even this year, I do like there's something about the open that just, you do try and full send it. Even though like maybe the skill level is not as high as what we would see, say, in quarters or semis, and the weights are a little bit lighter. It just means at our level, you can try and go fast and try and aim to get one of the top times in the world. So that's what I was thinking when I was doing the open this year. And then our videos, yeah, we're still doing like the same process, like we measure out things if we need to, we show our weights, we make sure our camera's set up. We run like a Friday night lights here at CrossFit Torrent. So like our members know to stand behind the camera. So like they're not in blocking our way. So we don't need to repeat the workout. But yeah.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but pretty good open finish for you this year. You're 19th worldwide, is that right?
Yeah, that's my best open today, or my best open finish today, which was good. And I actually I really didn't want to repeat any open workouts this year, but I went into week three I was sitting in second in the world, and then they released 24.3. I did it on the Friday night, and I was like, I'm definitely going to drop out of like the top five here. And I was like, I'm not going to repeat it. But then I sat on it over the weekend, and I thought, you've got really nothing to lose. If you just go in there and redo the workout and you improve your time, even just by like 40 seconds, you'll probably stay within the top five in the world. So Tuesday morning, I came into the gym and I repeated it, and I improved my time, but not good enough. But I was still really happy with my overall finish, like 19th. Like, yeah, I thought it was great. It was good. At least I'm improving each year, which is good.
Absolutely. And I think as well, when you've been in the sport for so long, like you've been doing the open for so long, how cool is that you're still like getting better every year? Because I can imagine, is there an element of it? And I think as well, over the last few years, we've seen like rookies or the newer athletes like be at them the top of the open. But how cool is it that you're still seeing that improvement year on year?
Yeah, I'm happy to see it. I am getting older. I'm 33 this year, and each year I'm like, oh, I wonder when I'm going to get to a point where I might not see as much as improvement as I want to see. But I honestly feel like I keep getting stronger, and I keep getting fitter, and I'm still competitive. So it's exciting to see that. Like, I know that myself, but it's nice to be reflected, I guess, on the leaderboard as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we like you've been competing for many years, and I want to delve into it. But what I always love to hear is who like how did your fitness journey begin? Like before CrossFit, what was your kind of athletic background? What did you do before you stepped foot for the first time in a CrossFit gym?
So growing up, I did a fair few sports actually, but my main sport was field hockey, and I played at quite a high level, like field hockey growing up. So I've always been like very competitive and athletic. Like I've just liked playing sports. It's just something I like to do. Anything that I can, get my hands on and like do some fitness and be competitive at, I just like to give it a go. And my dream actually growing up was to play for the Hockey Roos, which is the Australian hockey team, and I wanted to go to the Olympics for that sport. But I got to a point when I was about 18, and I just decided I didn't like hockey anymore. I was burnt out. I think playing at a high level since I was around like 13 to 17, I traveled overseas a few times all around Australia. Yeah, I just got to a point where I was like, I don't enjoy this, and I hung up my hockey stick, and that was it. I tried to play socially, but I really found it hard to go from being so competitive just to playing like on a social aspect. So I was in limbo for a couple of years. I didn't really like know what to do. Being 18, I met a boy who's now my husband. So, we were partying, trying all those things that you do at that age in your teens. And I started studying, and then I found CrossFit when I was about 21. And then I could, put my competitiveness back into that, and try and like bring that athlete out again, which is what I really enjoyed doing. Like I love doing any type of sport and training all the time. So it just felt natural to me to be like back in a gym and yeah, doing some sport.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I people are probably bored of me like referring to this, but it's so interesting when you speak to someone who's been doing CrossFit for kind of, I'd say 5+ years, they've had an athletic career in a different sport and they were like, oh, I needed something to keep that spark alive, and they find CrossFit. Whereas nowadays, people that are starting CrossFit it's because CrossFit is their sport, and it's that thing that they started. But how good was it to have? Because, you know, as you say, you don't playing competitively, it can be very full on, and interestingly what you said, like it can probably get a bit boring as well at times. And the beauty of CrossFit is it's obviously very varied, etc. How like interesting was it for you when you found CrossFit? Did you know a lot about it? Did you know that there was like a competitive aspect to it as well at the time?
Yeah, no, I didn't know anything about CrossFit. I just my sister-in-law, she said to me, "Oh, why don't you come and try this exercise class with me?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." So I went to this CrossFit gym. It was literally just a shed with some barbells and pull-up bars, and I did the hour class, and I was like, "Oh, this is really fun." And then I started to go back like twice a week, which turned into three, four, then 5 times a week. And even then, I still didn't know that CrossFit was actually like a competitive sport. I didn't know about the CrossFit games. And I think I started CrossFit, like it was probably in like the May time of year. So the open had already been done. And within our CrossFit gym at the time, like the open and regionals and the CrossFit games, it wasn't really spoken about. So it was pretty much just like under a year that then when the open came around the next year, I found out that, oh, like there is actually a competitive side to this sport. And you do the CrossFit Open and you try and qualify for regionals, et cetera. So, but at that stage, I didn't think that I could be any good at CrossFit. I didn't have a gymnastics background, so I found some of those gymnastics movements quite hard. I was like pretty good at like the running and endurance side of things, but yeah, like doing the weightlifting and gymnastics, I was like, oh yeah, I'm never going to go to CrossFit Games. I'll just try and do some local comps around the Mackay region where I lived. So yeah, I slowly start to do some local comps, and then from there I was like, actually, I think I want to try and give this sport a go, and that's what I did.
I love that. It's and also at that, you know, when it was regionals, etc. And I want to ask about that in a second. But I've had a lot of people on this show who are, I say ex-athletes, obviously you're athletes now, but you know, they did sport before CrossFit. Never had someone who's done field hockey. What and I know you said about running and endurance, but what skills from field hockey go across to CrossFit?
Well, I guess, in terms of how to use a stick and a ball, that doesn't really transfer across to CrossFit. But the training that I did with hockey over, I started playing when I was 5 years old and I stopped when I was 18. So, that's a long time of playing one particular sport. And hockey is I think it's now a 70-minute game, but at the time it was 60 minutes. And a lot of our training was a lot of running, interval shuttle work. We did also go into the gym and we did some upper body strength and lower body strength movement. So I was in the gym since I was about 13 years old. So I think what it gave me that I could transfer to CrossFit was a good endurance base and also a little bit of strength aspect there. Nothing to what I needed for, like, in terms of what you need, I think, to be competitive as a strength athlete in CrossFit, but it gave me like a bit of a base to start to work with. And then also, like, I did do surf life saving as well. And I was more of a beachy athlete where I did like sand or like the sprints, which was on soft sand. And I also did flags. And I don't know if you know much about surf life saving, but I've got like a weirdly strong capacity on a handstand push up. And I never really knew like why I had that. But now I start to think about it more. A lot of my flags training was like a lot of push up and upper body strength. And I think like that has helped like transfer my handstand push up capacity into making that quite good in CrossFit.
How interesting, something that like you did as a teenager and you're like, oh, actually, that still works
That
now.
helps.
With hockey as well, because I know obviously it's played worldwide, but I think in Australia and it's the same in the UK, like it's a sport that you play at school. Like we grew up in school and it was one of our main sports. It can also get quite aggressive in a way, but there's a lot of passion in hockey and a lot of grit. Do you think that kind of helped having that kind of just like passion to be like, no, I can win this in hockey, and then moving that across to when you started competing in CrossFit.
Yeah, definitely. I think it like as a I think you I guess like you're born like with a bit of competitiveness, but also playing hockey. And I also like I co-captained when we went over to South Africa for the Australian team as well. So I think like that kind of leadership role, and then also the position I played in hockey was kind of a forward. It's a very attacking position. So those kind of elements, it just makes you want to be like competitive. And I don't know, I just, yeah, just have a go. And I think, yeah, I think that's helped me across it a bit.
Yeah, it's. I always remember playing, like, everyone used to get injured because everyone would just kind of, it would just get a bit aggressive. But it was always such fun playing in school. But you don't, I don't, I haven't had the chance to speak to many people who play competitively and professionally. So I love that. And you mentioned regionals because it's so weird to think about regionals now because we've obviously had semi-finals for the last few years. It was. You've competed in both regionals and semi-finals. How different was the experience of regionals to kind of the last few years in semi-finals for you? I know obviously the last few years have been team, but you have done individual semi-finals too. So how has it changed going from kind of regionals to semi-finals?
To be honest, I don't know if if I've seen too many changes from regionals to semifinals. What I've seen though is from the regionals era to the sanctionals era, that was quite different because I did compete in a few sanctionals there, I think like 2019, 2020. And then I seen when we came back to the semifinals era, it kind of had more of that regionals base there in terms of all of the regions are doing the same workouts. There was only traditionally there was two workouts a day. We're competing over a 3 day period. So yeah, I found that there was a lot of similarities there. A big notice, especially for our region in Oceania, at regionals we had five spots to make it to the game. So five girls and five guys could go. And then when they went back to the semi-finals, or they went to the new system of the semi-finals for us, Oceania, we lost two spots and now we've got three and three. And I think they've done that on the rankings worldwide. So that was probably the major change I noticed. But yeah, I don't know. I love the semi-finals style so much better than the sanctionals. I didn't really love the sanctionals style that was going on. It was a great opportunity to travel the world and, do multiple big events throughout the year, but I don't know. I think it just got a little bit messy in terms of how you could qualify for the game. So I think back to this qualification process, it's a lot cleaner and straightforward. And people that don't even do CrossFit can understand how you get to the CrossFit games, which I think is important, especially when we're trying to grow our sport in the world.
Absolutely. I don't think you're alone in your thoughts on sanctionals, to be honest. And yeah, it is, it's so much easier to explain. Like when people ask me about it, I'm like, oh yeah, so you have this, and then of course final, semi-finals, like, oh, it makes so much sense. Going back to your first kind of regionals, you said previously that when you started, like your gym didn't really talk much about kind of the games or regionals, etc. When you decided that this was going to be for you and you were going to kind of explore competing in CrossFit at that higher level, did you like, was it then more spoken about in your gym? How did you go about that if it wasn't kind of best practice, I suppose, in your gym?
I think the owner at my gym at the time, she encouraged me to just do local comps around Mackay, and then once she could see that I had some potential, she was like, maybe try and compete down in Southeast Queensland, which is Brisbane, where now I live. And at the time, so our semi-finals here is now called Satorium Pro, but go back to 2015, 2016, Satorium Pro was actually just it was a well-known comp in Australia that any athlete could come and compete at. So I seen an advertisement for the Torium Pro coming up, and I applied to come and compete. And this was in 2016. And I was like, I'll go give it a go. I'll be competing against good athletes there. I know some of these athletes have gone to regionals. I'll just see how I stack up, and I'll actually see if I like competing at that level. So I came down to Brisbane. I competed at the Torium Pro. I came middle of the pack, I think 15th that weekend. But when I finished, when I came home and I said to Kieran, who's now my husband, I said to him, I was like, oh, I want to do this. I want to try and go to regionals. I still didn't want to go to the games. I was just like, I just want to go to regionals and see what it's like. So I sought out a coach, got myself a coach, and then in 2017, I actually took some time off work because I'm a nurse and I was doing shift work at the time, and I thought I want to give myself the best opportunity to try and qualify for regionals. So I made sure I didn't have to do night shift and afternoon shift throughout that period, and yeah, I went all in on the open, and then I qualified for my first regionals. So that's how it worked. And then from there, obviously, the gym fully backed me. They were there to support me. You know, they were help judging me, setting up. Yeah, it was really good.
I love that. And that was 2017. So it's quite a.
Yeah, 2017 was my first regionals, and I really didn't expect to qualify for regionals that year. I think I came 29th, so I just scraped in because they were taking the top 30. And I repeated like three out of the five workouts, or four out of the five workouts, just because I knew like each time I do the first workout, it probably wasn't going to be good enough. So, yeah.
And it's funny, isn't it? Like, still. Back then, like you repeating workouts, and it's something that probably never changes in your career, right? That as the assessment of going looking back and seeing how you've done. You said that you had no kind of, thoughts about going to the games. Did that make it quite fun to go to regionals? Because as you say, you just wanted to get there and your goal was almost ticked off.
I guess like I thought I just wanted to go to regionals, and then you go there and you start competing, and then you see how good these girls are. Like I definitely wasn't anywhere near like the top 10 or top five, but I would watch them and I'd see them compete, and I'm like, I want to be that good, and I want to go try go to the CrossFit Games. So what I realized is like I was never fully satisfied. Like once I made the CrossFit Games, in 22, I think, with the team, I thought like, oh, once I go to the CrossFit Games, like, you know, I might retire and go have a baby. And I went there and I was like, I want to go back and I want to do better. So I've definitely come to the realization that we're never fully satisfied. And I think it's just us as athletes, like we're always seeking like a little bit more, and we want to try and do a little bit better. And I actually really like that. Like I love that.
It is so great, and it's I love that even like the if you look back at like the first ever CrossFit Games like full documentary they did in 2015, and you see like Sam Briggs going, oh yeah, I'm gonna retire this year, and then it's like all these years later she's still going, and it's so interesting to see that as you say as athletes there is just something in you that obviously CrossFit does very well in keeping that competitive spark. So your last, correct me if I'm wrong here, but your last individual semi-final, regional, etc., was 2021. So at what point did you then kind of go, right, okay, I'm going to try team. How did that all come about, going from the 2021 to 2022 season?
Are you stuck at a plateau and without a recent PB? Mergs has you covered. Bringing you the highest performance CrossFit and weightlifting equipment on the market, Mergs is your secret weapon to set a new best. Whether that's knee sleeves, grips, or tape, Mergs has everything you need to stay protected and performing. Head over to mergs.com now and save 15% on all orders with the code WOD15.
I still like I really liked competing as an individual, but with our qualifying spots in the Oceania region and having, you know, like Tia Claire Toomey and Cara Saunders and Maddie Sturt and Ellie Turner, we had such a really stacked women's field. And going into the 22 season, I was just being realistic in terms of like what my best chances of getting to the games were. And getting some games experience, because I always think it's good to get some kind of games experience because it makes you a better competitor. Just because you're like, you know, you're competing at a higher level, and you're competing at athletes against athletes from all over the world. So I thought, all right, let's try and like go team. And at that stage, I was still living in Mackay, but the team requirements, you had to live within 160 kilometers of the gym that you were going to compete with. So I had to move from Mackay to Brisbane, which is about 10 hours away in a car. So I moved down. Kieran, my husband, he still lived in Mackay, but I moved down here. I formed a team, and yeah, somehow we made it work and we got to the CrossFit Games, which was awesome.
It is awesome. It's great. It's crazy looking back and seeing like the super teams that were, because these people that were like plucked from all the areas of the world. I really like the fact, I mean, you may not like the fact that you had to drive 10 hours away, but that you had to live near your team. Do you think it benefited you in your training with the team being a lot closer? Like, because I can imagine doing all that traveling like during the season would have taken a massive toll.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's why I like had to move down. So pretty much I just lived down here and Kieran would come down. Like we would just like alternate weekends when we would see each other. But I think like as a team, it's kind of important to train with each other every day. Not all day, every day. Like obviously you're going to do sessions a little bit different, but the more sessions you're getting together, even if it's not team workouts, if you're just training side by side, you just learn so much about each other as an athlete. So then when you are competing, you kind of like understand how they're feeling in that workout or what their capabilities are or where you might be able to push, et cetera. So yeah, it's definitely got its benefits. And look, like I've been down in Brisbane now. This is my third year. So obviously I loved the move. Like Kieran's moving down here permanently. So we've made a life down here and yeah, and I'm still going team 3 years later.
I love that. Is it? I say it all the time. Team competition is so underrated because you guys that are on teams are such incredible athletes. Going, as you say, like you got to the games in 2022 for the first time. Was it a bit of a shock to the system being in a field of athletes like worldwide and seeing how incredible everyone is like worldwide on their teams?
Yeah, definitely. It puts into perspective like how many good athletes there are in the world. But it also made me realize that I and we, the team, those good athletes, and that, you know, you are in the mix and you are competitive there. Because I think sometimes you can kind of like underestimate your capabilities or underrate yourself a little bit. But it was just good to see that when we got there, you know, we could hold our own. There was obviously a lot of areas that we needed to improve and that we could do better in. But like, yeah, we just had an expectation of trying to not get cut the whole weekend, which was the main thing. And I think our team came 16th overall at the end of the weekend. And we were really happy with that accomplishment.
And you said, like, as soon as you went to the games, you wanted to go back.
Yeah, you know, each year, like I would have had babies years ago if I like wasn't still competitive in this sport. But each year I say to Kieran, I'm like, oh, I'll just do one more season and this will be it. And then I do the season and we're at the games and I turn to him and I'm like, oh, I've got to do one more. And he's like,
Just
my
one more.
goodness.
And then, like last year, we have to talk about your team. I mean, obviously, I know your team is very similar this year. But going into a team last year, you were with some like Royce and Brandon, such like well-known, respected athletes, like out of Oceania, especially. They've got a lot of experience. How did you come about being on their team? Did you always decide after 2022 you wanted to stay team? How did that kind of happen into last year's season?
Yeah, so last year's team formation, it was, I still really don't know exactly how it happened. So Royce and I started training together regularly throughout the 22 season as well, because I actually ended up living next door to him. So I would train with my team at our gym in the morning or the afternoon, and then I would do my other session with him out of his home gym there. So I guess we essentially became training partners. And then when I finished at the games that year with EXF, like we knew that team wouldn't really happen again because one of the guys was moving down to Orange, New South Wales, and Ronnie wanted to go back competing as an individual. And I knew, or like I'd spoken to Royce, and he was keen on like maybe if we formed a team together. So we kind of just started at that point, and he's been friends with Brandon Swan a long time. You know, they've obviously been competing together for like 8 years. Swan's been in the sport for, I don't know, like 20 years. No, not that long. He's been in the sport for a long time, 10 years. So he wanted to try and like make it back to the games, and the team was the right spot for him. So he was on board, and then it was a matter of us finding another female. And we knew that Marnie Sykes, so she was living in New Zealand at the time, in I think she was living in Christchurch, but we had heard that she wanted to move over to Australia and to Queensland. So Royce had actually gone over to New Zealand for a comp, and he ran into Marnie. And he just kind of like spoke to her and said, like, look, this is what we're thinking. If you're interested, there's a spot on our team. And then she considered it, and then she decided to move over. And then she moved over with her boyfriend, Bailey Martin, as well. So they both train out of CrossFit Touring now. And we've got a good little athlete hub here. But yeah, that team last year, like, there's so many good memories. I had so much fun that whole season. Swanee's such like a good guy. He's so like fun, and just he's so energetic to be around. So yeah, it was, yeah, I mean, each season that you compete is unique for different reasons. But that one was definitely memorable, obviously for a few reasons. But yeah, it was still a great season.
How important is it with your teammates to, and this is going to sound so obvious, but how important is it to like each other and to like each other's company?
Yeah, I think it's really important actually. Because, you know, when you're competing on a team, you have to know that, like, this is going to maybe sound like super cliche, but you have to know that your teammates have your back and they trust you. Because when you're in the shit in a workout, like, you want to know that you've got that person there beside you saying, like, you can do it. And it really does matter in a workout that you hear that from them. So yeah, I think it's very important that you all get along. And then also it just makes the season better as well, because you're spending a lot of time with these people. So they're not only your teammates, they have to become your friends. Yeah. So I think it's probably
Yeah.
one of the most important like aspects of being on a team.
Absolutely. And you said obviously last year there were many different reasons why it was memorable. Unfortunately, well, not you obviously got to the games, but unfortunately you had to withdraw due to an injury. How, and I know it wasn't yourself that was injured, but how, as a team, how hard is it to make that decision and to go through all them conversations? Because I can imagine as an individual athlete, that would be quite hard, but it's only you competing. So you can make that decision and be kind of go forward with it. But as a team, how much conversation goes into it? Is it very much like, no, you're injured, we can't go on, or is it we try? How did that all kind of unfold during the weekend?
Yeah, so we knew Swati was injured prior to going into like competing at the CrossFit Games. He actually did his elbow in Cookeville, so we went over to train at CrossFit Mayhem for 2 weeks as our CrossFit Games preparation. And we were doing like a team simulation weekend against Mayhem Independence, and he was on a pegboard, and he kind of just felt like his like elbow tendon flick, and then he was in a lot of pain, and his elbow really like swelled up. And yeah, so we knew that he had like a fairly significant injury going into the games, but we had like some physios in that looking at it at Mayhem. He was on some anti-inflammatories, and we were just strapping it and just hoping and praying that it would be okay and last the duration of the games. And then unfortunately, it kind of just came down to the order of the events. You know, like the first event at the games was that seated legless rope climb, which is obviously like massive pulling, or requires like massive pulling strength, and it's a lot of like fatigue going through that elbow joint. So we couldn't finish that workout. We only got about halfway through, but Swanee was like, no, it's okay, it's okay, like I'll just, you know, keep going, we'll just keep on taking event by event and day by day. So we got through day one, and then day two, we kind of like just survived as well. And then it got to day three, that first event in the morning, which was a it was kind of like a sprint where you would have to run and then do some like fast touch and go snatches. And it just got to a point, I think he was on like rep six or rep seven, and he like locked out the snatch, but then he just let out this scream and dropped the barbell and grabbed his arm. And that's when actually medics came over to see him. And then they took him away, and then they assessed him, and they actually medically withdrew him from the competition. So it wasn't like a team decision. However, It was only really a matter of time, like I think that it was eventually going to get to a point where he just couldn't put up with the pain any longer in that elbow. And like your health and like your joint longevity, your muscle longevity, your body's longevity is more important than trying to finish the CrossFit Games like completely broken by the end. And yeah, it was disappointing that we had to pull out. And now I look back and I think like that would have been so much harder on Swanee because he felt like he wasn't only letting down himself, but he was also probably thought that he was letting down, three of his other teammates because he knows that like we love him. And at the end of the day, like he had to be withdrawn because of his injury. But like he knows that we're all competitive and we all want to be out there competing. But yeah, that's sport, like CrossFit's not the only sport where you're going to see injuries. There's multiple sports where, people have to sub out because of injuries. It's just unfortunate, I guess, in our sport that we can't sub somebody in for him because they're the rules. And I actually think that that's okay. I think if they went to having, say, a team of six, and if somebody gets injured, you could sub somebody in. I feel like there'd be a lot of like, maybe like, you would hope this wouldn't be the case, but there could be some false injuries coming out of it to then sub your other teammate in for the end of competition because they're fresher. So yeah, it is what it is. And like Swanee's good now. He got surgery on his elbow. I think I don't know if he's fully retired from competitive CrossFit, but I think that this season he did the open, and I don't know if he's going to do the individual quarterfinals this weekend.
Yeah, and it's also what's quite interesting about our sport is that if you look at, I don't know, like footballers and rugby players, etc., they compete pretty much all year round. So when they get injured, they take a couple of games off, as you say, someone else subs in. But with CrossFit, it is kind of all built on this one weekend of the year. And it just kind of sucks if you get injured that weekend because there isn't, as you say, a kind of anything you can do. But it's so nice to hear from your perspective as well that yeah, it's health comes first and as you say, joint longevity and it's a really sad, that you had to withdraw, but did you still kind of come out of that weekend like how like looking back now, because I can imagine that close to the time it was probably quite bittersweet, but looking back now, how do you reflect on that weekend last year?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was still the best time. Like we had a great trip together. We got to spend 2 weeks in Cookeville learning off some of the best athletes and coaches in the world. We went to the CrossFit Games and we had an awesome finish on our 5 kilometer. I don't even think you can call it 5K, whatever it was, 4.6 or 4.8 Ks. We had a great finish as a team and the boys pushed so hard on that workout. So yeah, there are some like really good memories. It actually the whole thing is like really good memories. I know that we had to pull out and we missed 2 days of competition, but I don't even look back at that season and think like, oh, I didn't enjoy that. Like I said, it was one of the best seasons I've ever had. And I explained to an athlete at the gym once, or like actually not too long ago. She's a young 18-year-old, and she was having like, a lot of days there in training that she wasn't enjoying. And I explained to her like, if your goal is to go to the CrossFit Games, like that's awesome. But I said, in our experience, we went to the CrossFit Games, last season, and we only got to compete for 2 days, and then our game season was over. And I said to her how important it is to enjoy everything that goes with that CrossFit Games season. So you might not enjoy every day, but you want to be enjoying 80% of your sessions. Because that's actually where the memories are made. Obviously, there are memories made at the CrossFit Games too, but it's such a small aspect in the whole season. The CrossFit Games is like 10%. The rest of the time, that you're like making these like big memories and spending, all of your hours is in the gym together or doing, like some outdoor training at home. It's just, yeah, it just really made me realize that it's important to enjoy the whole journey and not just like what is at the end.
I think that is so important, and I like that way you've explained that with the percentages as well, because it can be really hard to put into perspective for people, I can imagine, and especially when you haven't been to the games, probably even more so, but you've obviously got that experience now. And I know you said every time you've gone to the games, you've gone, yeah, one more year. I can imagine that, especially last year, because it's well, this year we've got a new location, lots of newness. Was it pretty easy to say, yeah, I'm going back again next year, team again? Was that again quite an easy decision?
Yeah, I think we were sitting, or like Royce and I think were sitting in the cafe. Like, it would have been day three at the CrossFit Games, and I was like, oh, I definitely am going to go back and compete again next season. And at that point, we didn't know if it would be team or individual what we'd do. And even if I was being completely honest, I still wasn't 100% on team until maybe like January, February this year, because I went over and competed at Waterpalooza this season, and I competed individual and as a team. And it had been a few years since I competed as an indie, and I was like, I wonder if I actually still enjoy this. This will like be a good insight to see if I like it. And when I did that competition, I was like, oh, actually, I really still have some fire there to compete as an individual. But I had also knew that I had a team like proposal back here. So I really just had to weigh up my options, and ultimately, like, I do enjoy competing as an individual. But I think like I actually love competing as a team, and it probably has to do with my background, like playing hockey growing up, being on a team sport. There's something nice about being on the CrossFit floor and having teammates beside you and hurting alongside you as well. And I actually find that I push that a little bit more, and maybe get a little bit more out of myself when I know my teammates are relying on me. So that's where my decision ended up staying. And I'm not saying I won't go back individual again. Say for some reason I decide to do another season next year, there could be a possibility I'd come back as it, like I would compete individual. It just depends. I just take one season at a time.
I love that. Maybe we'll have the same conversation this time next year and see where you're at.
Maybe.
So am I right in saying that goal for this year is to get to Texas, to get back to the games?
Yep. So obviously, like you just like keep on ticking off the boxes. So we did the open. Now we've done the quarterfinals. The next goal, we would really like to win the Torium Pro. Last year we won the Torium Pro, and I want to do the same thing again this season. And I'm sure Jack, Royce, and Marnie are all on the same page. And then at the games, you know, we haven't actually really set a goal as a team what we would like to achieve there. But my personal goal would at least try and get like top 10 at the games. And then I guess maybe once you see where you place after semifinals, maybe then you can make a bit more of a proper like goal as to what we could think our capabilities are there.
I love that. Well, I look forward to watching you at Torian and watching you guys at the games too. It is going to be there's some really fun teams this year. Do you pay a lot of attention to the, I suppose, outside noise of the teams and kind of who's on who, etc.?
Yeah, you do. Like, I definitely pay attention to what teams are out there, especially obviously in our region. But also, I like to know what's going on around the world because, you know, I bank on the fact we're going to qualify for the game, so I want to know who we're going to compete against. So yeah, there's some great teams out there. It'll be an exciting competition, I think, this season, especially for us here, like in Oceania. The team field is really quite stacked this year, so it'll be a really good race and fight to see who get those three qualifying spots.
Absolutely. It is going to be fun to watch. And I will not say it too much because people are sick of me saying it, but Torian just looks like the best semi-final and always looks like the most fun to compete at. So I'm very jealous that you get to have that experience. Before I let you go, Christy, I just have to ask you some quick fire questions if you're happy to answer them. Firstly, favorite lift.
Just the squat clean, not the jerk, squat clean.
Love that. Favorite overall CrossFit movement?
Handstand push-up.
Nice. I had a feeling you might say that after what we've spoken about before. Your favorite benchmark WOD?
Diane.
Nice. And I do normally ask people your if you could build a dream team to go to the games, who would you have alongside you? You have a pretty dream team going hopefully this year. So if you could build a dream team that you have not competed with, so none of your fellow competitors this year, who would you have alongside you? Four or six person team?
All right, we'll go four person. And I would have obviously myself. I'd have Tia on the team.
Obviously.
And then I'd have Rich Froning. And who would my second male be? I'd maybe go Jay Crouch. I'll go Jay, Rich, me, and Tia.
Nice. That's a solid
Yeah.
team. Not many
I think it's pretty
people, when
solid.
I ask this question, say like Tia or Rich, and I'm like, why are you not saying them? You'd be like, come on. But I love that. And
It's a dream team, you know. Otherwise, if I was to
absolutely.
say my actual dream team, it would just be who I'm with this season, Jack, Royce, and Marnie.
Exactly. And it is a very solid team, and it is a dream team as well. But yeah, best of luck this season. I look forward to watching and following you guys, and seeing you at the games.
Sounds good. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you so much.